us to have is a real explosion.
It's time for us. Now, this is the seventh year. We've been growing, but I want us to do more. Not just in making filling the church, but more that for ourselves, in that we grow personally, that we draw closer to God. This is a time that we can't be messing about. This is a time when we have to get closer to God. It's a time that we really need to get some spiritual strength, because there are things going to happen in this world that are going to just really test us and try us. And we need to really, the Bible says, as you see the day approaching, right? The day is definitely approaching. There are all kinds of things going on that we don't even dream about that are happening in this world. And it's only that the Spirit, the Bible says, the mystery of iniquity doth work, but he that letteth will let till he be taken out the way. It's only the Holy Spirit that is preventing or holding back some of the things that the devil would like to bring to the fore. And we need to get ready. Amen. And I put up there healing our land, but before you heal the land, you have to first do something about the people. Because it's the people and their actions that defile the land. And so we're going to do a little bit of study today. And it was brought out yesterday. I read the scripture about the fact that Solomon was able to build a temple in 7 years. But the reason why he was able to build a temple in 7 years is because David, his father, had prepared everything for him. And I was just saying, you know, we walked into this building. We didn't have to go buy a building. My parents had sacrificed and donated the funds and signed the deed over to the church. And so I'm standing on the shoulders of great people of God, the saints who were here before for 20-something years, who supported this church and blessed it. And the preacher last night mentioned about Solomon's temple, and then it hit me. It hit me that the name of this church before my father bought it was called Solomon's Temple. The name of this church on the deed, I was going to look it up, and it was called Solomon's Temple. So it was just right in line with what had happened in the past. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14, a very, very famous verse of scripture. If my people, which are called by my name. Who's that? Who's the people that are called by? We are. We are the people of the name. We take on his name in baptism. If there's anyone who this applies to today, it's us. Because we are the people of the name. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's what we have to do in this time and age. We have to humble ourselves and to seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What a great and wonderful promise. Isn't that an awesome promise of God? And you know, it wasn't a few hundred years later that we see this promise being literally fulfilled by the prophet Daniel. 3 times a day, he would open his window. And the scripture doesn't say it, but I believe he was thinking about this very scripture. And he would open his window, that face towards Jerusalem. And he would humble himself and pray for his people Israel. And we see how effective that was, that God gave him the result of the prophecy for the rest of the ages to come, that what God's plan was going to do. So we want to get into the spirit of revival and renewal. Now, healing the land. Why does the land need healing? Why would the land need healing? Well, obviously it's because it's been defiled. That's what makes a land need healing, is when it's been defiled. And in the scripture, we see that there was something specific. Lots of things can defile a land, but something specific the scripture speaks about. It says the shedding of innocent blood defiles the land. There's been more murders and killings and just stuff that's been going on in some of our cities than ever before. Numbers 35:33 says, so he shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. In the book of Numbers, it was given to them that killing and murder and all of the other things defile the land. Shedding of innocent blood defiles the land. And so, but before we can get to that, we have to go to the reasons why those things happen. And that comes back to the human heart. As I said, you can't heal the land till you first heal the people who live in the land. And that is why we are here today. It's our duty to witness. It's our duty to tell people that God can change. I just love her testimony because here's the very man who stole her car. I won't say stole, repoed the car, and most of us would be in a bad mood. I remember when I was working, I think it was about a year ago, there was a parking lot that I had paid to park in. But there was another parking lot right next to it that I didn't know about. I thought it was all one parking lot. So I'd been paying to park in this spot, and that spot was full that day. So I just parked. There was no barrier. There was no sign. I parked in the next spot that was over. And when I came out from work, my vehicle was gone. It had been towed. And I was so upset. I said, oh, no. You know. And so I went to the security guard, and I said, well, and you know, what happened? He said, they towed your car. So I called up the place, and they said it was going to be 300 and whatever it was, 350, 360 bucks. And in my flesh, I was upset. And I said to them, so why is it that much to just, they said, well, we can charge whatever we want. I found out that there is no limit. They could have charged 500. There is no limit under the city ordinance for what they can charge. And I know that when I went there to get it, I wasn't in a good Christian mood. I probably didn't have a happy smile on my face. I was just thinking that this is extortion, you know, that they're extorting from me. And of course, you have no choice. You have to pay their money. But I just love the way that she prayed for the repo man. Amen. That's what we're called. We got to heal the land. Don't give what you have been given. They say, do unto others as they have been done to you. But that's not right, really. That's what the Pharisees would do. We've got to exceed that. We have to give back love. Jesus said, someone smites you on the cheek, what are you supposed to do? See, that's not preached too often. We want vengeance. But it says here, it was the shedding of innocent blood that defiles the land. That was one of the great things. But we see that it all goes back to the heart. And what I want to teach on today is about the things that defile the heart, because before the land is defiled, the heart is defiled. The Bible tells us it's what comes what? Out. That defiles. You see, it's the things we say, because that comes from our heart. You know, it comes from our heart. Amen. So I want to talk about the things that defile, because blood is usually a sign of a sickness or a cut or death. And I want to talk about the things that defile the heart in this first Sunday. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's one of our fundamental scriptures that we teach. That is the salvation message, being born again, repenting, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. What does repent mean? Does it mean to cry?
No.
You sure?
Yes.
You sure it doesn't just mean to cry? Yeah, there's a lot of people who cry, but they have not changed. Repentance really means to change. It's not saying you're sorry, but it's actually changing what you're doing. Because if you're truly sorry, you will try to change. You'll try to change. And that's one of the key things that people misinterpret about repentance. I believe it's an old English word that the soldiers back in the Middle Ages used to say. And it would be a command, you know, in the American army they say bout face or something like that. But in the English army they would say, repent! And he would come to the end and turn around. That meant turning around, going in a different direction. That's what repentance is really about. And what I wanted to do today is talk about three kinds of sin that defiles the heart, and because of that, defiles the land. Now, we know that there's one baptism. But a lot of people are saying today that you don't need to be baptized. As I said, I was very shocked a few years ago when I found out that the Baptists don't believe in baptism. They don't believe in baptism. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. So born of the water does not stand alone here, but rather inseparable with and spirit. A lot of people want to separate baptism and being filled with the Spirit. They want to say, it's okay, I've been filled with the Spirit, I don't need to be baptized. But there is no separation. Jesus did not separate it. It's one sentence. If we say, I gave an example, raining cats and dogs refers to how many rains? One rain. This item is our bread and butter and refers to our mainstay item. Water and the Spirit refers to one birth. Now, the other fundamental scripture is when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus and he said he must be born again. And twice in verse 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered him. Jesus answered him. He must be born again. And now let's look at this. It says, truly, truly, I say to you. And in verse 5, he says, truly, truly, I say to you. And I'm trying to make a point here. Because some people want, as I said, to separate the water baptism from the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Unless one is born again. And in verse 5, he says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. He's not separating them. He's putting it as one baptism. One baptism. Now, what does that have to do with the three kinds of sins? Well, I'm coming to that, but I wanted to, first of all, show you something. Now, if your hands are dirty, what are you going to do? Wash. If we have a sin, what we need to do is repent and be washed. Repent and be washed. Now, I think the Bible is so awesome because the picture that people give, and I've heard people teach, that the baptism that it's speaking about is just of the Spirit. And that they use the example of John the Baptist say that I baptize you with water, but Jesus, the one who is going to come, is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And they're trying to say that it's the Holy Ghost and fire is the only thing that counts. John just used water and that didn't count. I want to show you the example that's in the book of Corinthians, chapter 2. And we're all baptized, didn't say baptisms, unto Moses in the cloud. God is so awesome. Because if it was the water alone, he could have said they could have went through the sea. And that would have been symbolized the water baptism. But it says they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The one baptism. And the cloud obviously is what? The Spirit. It was the cloud that followed them that represented the Spirit of God. So we see it was one baptism of the water and of the Spirit that made them get from Egypt out of Egypt. No one who made it to Canaan was not baptized. I want you to think about that thought. Some people think you can get in another way. Now, God could have led them all the way around the tip of the River Jordan into Canaan, but he wanted to set up the symbol of baptism of the water and of the Spirit. It says that all were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now you may have to say, well, what does this have to do with healing the land? Well, as I've said before, you first have to heal the person. If we are defiled, then the land is defiled. If we are clean, then the land will be clean. Amen. So before we get back into baptism, I wanted to speak about the three sins or categories of three sins. And number one is a sin against the body. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. There's things you can do that are against your own temple, right? Addictions, alcoholism, all the things that we know. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And I've just put it in modern terms: drugs, gluttony, drunkenness, illicit sex, smoking, etc. We know all those are categories of sins against this body, right? If I smoke for 30 years and then I develop lung cancer, there's no surprise there, is there? It's the same as if I was to go to a bridge and jump off the bridge. There would be no surprise if I died. Why? Because I'm breaking God's law. We all see the law of gravity, so we're careful not to go jump off tall buildings. But sometimes we do not see the other spiritual laws that are just as real and just as powerful. And maybe do them slow motion, but they result in the same thing. The end of it is death. So there's sins against the body. And then there's sins against our brothers and sisters. Leviticus 6:2 says, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor. Now truly, all sins are against God in the final analysis. But in this category, what I'm saying is when we say lie against our neighbor or steal something from our neighbor, we are not only sinning against God, but we are also sinning against them. So there are sins against your brothers and sisters. And the Bible makes it plain, it's not even what we do externally. It's what we think. It's what we think. Wouldn't it be terrible if our thoughts could just start to magically appear? This room would empty real quick. But the Bible does tell us that he can bring every thought into captivity. It depends on what you're meditating upon. It depends on what you're thinking. It depends on the things that you let in. Amen to your heart. So I have a category here that is sins against your brothers and sisters. False witness, stealing, covetousness. What's covetousness? Yeah, wanting something someone else had illicitly. Hatred. Man, why are they looking at me like that? You know, there's some people that you haven't done them anything. They just take an instant dislike to you, and there's nothing you can do about it, you know. Hatred and murder. And we don't, by murder, it doesn't necessarily mean with a gun. But all of these things defile the person and therefore defile the land. Amen. And then, of course, the third one is sins directly against God. Exodus 23, I give an example. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Idolatry. Whatever we place in our lives before God, that's a sin. That can be our job. That can be our family. That can be money. That can be anything that comes before God. That's a sin. Pride. That's one we don't think about very much. Pride. Just thinking like Nebuchadnezzar. This is great Babylon that I have built for myself. And pride is so clever. It's so easy to creep up on us. We look at something and say, man, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. I have to catch myself because I'm no good. I have to say like Paul, I know that within me there is no, dwelleth no good thing. I have to speak to myself and tell myself, listen, don't start going there, because if God was to just withdraw just one little straw, what's that game where you take out one brick? What's it called? Jenga? You know, they build up those towers. I said, if God was just to move just a little bit, the whole thing would collapse. I have never in my life gotten to the place yet where I can sit back and say, I got this made. No. I depend totally on Jesus Christ. And anytime we get up in pride, we're sinning against God. We're sinning against God. Everything I have belongs to him. Every single thing I have belongs to him. Amen. I was speaking to the bishop last night when I was taking him back to his hotel, and I was telling him some of the miracles that God has done for this church. And as I was telling him, it really made me realize I had forgotten. I had forgotten just the amazing things God has done. Truly amazing things. And we need to remember that, never to take credit for God's blessings. Never to take credit for his blessings. So now I've said the three sins, the types, categories of sins, and I want to show you in the Old Testament now how that defiled the land. So sin against the body. In the Old Testament, there was no forgiveness normally if you sinned deliberately. If you sin deliberately, you planned it. You, as I said before, you go down to the store, you buy the gun, you follow the person, you lie in wait. That wasn't accidental. You didn't accidentally buy the gun and follow. That was a deliberate. We see in Leviticus 20:10, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. In the Old Testament, there was no mercy, no grace for deliberate sins against the body. There was no forgiveness in that if you did it deliberately. If you had an accidental argument and you had a fight and someone hit their head, you could run to the city of, where could you go to? Refuge. You could run to one of the six cities of refuge. And if you stayed there and didn't come out till the death of the high priest or till the year of the Jubilee, then you were free. But if in any other case, if you deliberately did something, there was no forgiveness. In fact, in Hebrews it said that under the word of one or two witnesses, there was no mercy in the Old Testament. What about trespass against your brother? Now, this was the only one in the Old Testament where, even if it was deliberate, there was some forgiveness, but only... Do you remember, anyone remember the conditions for forgiveness against sin against your brother? You didn't just go to God and say, forgive me. That wouldn't work. What did you have to do? Confess. You had to confess it first and then bring the offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering. Now, if you lie on somebody, that's not unpremeditated. You know you're lying, right? But in the trespass offering, actually is our deliverance, actually. It's so beautiful. Because remember now, any other offering, any other sin, there was no forgiveness if it was deliberate. But let's be fair and honest. A lot of what we do is deliberate. A lot of it, we can't say, well, I accidentally told a lie on him or her. But it's the trespass offering is our way out, because it was against our who? Brother. It was against our brother. So here's what it says, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation, that is with an offering for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein. So in the trespass, which was against our brothers, we could be forgiven. And it's amazing, well, not amazing, but in the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? Forgive us our, as we, see, that's the key. First, there had to be confession, and you had to bring restitution, and you had to confess it. And if you did that, it wasn't just going to the priest and secretly saying, I did something. You had to confess it. You had to admit to it. You had to repent, in other words. Amen. To be forgiven. And of course, again, sins against God, there was no forgiveness, if deliberate. Here's the scripture, Hebrews 10:28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. There was no forgiveness. But in the New Testament, when Jesus came, we had forgiveness. Why? Now, remember now, God, no forgiveness, sin against God. But then there was forgiveness in the Old Testament under the trespass offering if it was against our fellow man. But then what happened? God became man. God became man. And so now, the sin is against God in the flesh. And so we have forgiveness. Now, there's still one category we still don't get forgiveness of. And we'll come to that. So no forgiveness if deliberate. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now, I'm coming back. I've outlaid for you the three categories of sin. Sins against ourselves, our body. Sins against our fellow man. And sins against God. Now, all three of them really are sins against God because they're breaking his laws. But those are the three categories. Now, I said, how do we heal the land? How do we clean? Let's go back to the baptism. And we see that in the scripture, there's two things, the water and the blood. Now, in the Old Testament, the covering for the soul was the blood sacrifice. They came and they sprinkled the blood. And if you brought the sacrifice, the sin offering, for unintentional sins, or the trespass offering, even if it was for deliberate sins, but it was against your fellow man, and you brought the right sacrifice, the blood covered it. And they also did a washing, too. There was a baptism. And in the New Testament, we see that baptism washes away the sins of the flesh. Acts 22:16, and Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. People say, well, Paul was never baptized. And then it doesn't really outline that until we get to Acts 22 when he was recounting the fact that when he went to Ananias, he told him, be baptized. Because people use a lot of Paul's teachings to say you don't have to be baptized. Because they don't understand. But we see here that Paul himself, in Acts 22, when he was recounting his call to salvation, that Ananias told him, arise and be baptized. And what does it say? So if you don't be baptized, if we take the opposite of that, what does that mean? But I've been filled with the Spirit. Good. But you still are living in this body. You're still dealing with this flesh. And he says here, wash away your sins. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. So in the Old Testament, there were the sacrifices that were given for covering certain types of sin. In the New Testament, it's being born of the water and of the Spirit. You cannot separate them. And people say, well, baptism has no effect. It's just an outward symbol of an inward change. But not according to this scripture. It has a salvation effect. It says, washes away your sins. It's not just an outward symbol. It's just not just a symbol that you can do it or not do it. Here it says, it washes away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When we first come to Christ, when we repent, and then we are baptized. The Bible says that we rise to walk in what? Newness. That means something has happened. It's not just a symbol, but something has happened. And I'm talking about how we heal the land. Because you have to first cleanse the soul to heal the land. Imagine if this whole city got saved. The police would be out of a job. Most of the government would be out of a job. Think about it. This is what happened when true repentance came to the city of Nineveh. One man preaching, and a whole city repented. A whole city changed. We think it's impossible. We think it's impossible. And because we think it's impossible, we don't really witness like we should. We think, well, God will save those he's supposed to save. But he wants to use us. When we believe this thing, when we really get it in here, and we get desperate, and we understand what that person is facing, a damnation and hell, we won't keep it to ourselves. Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Baptism is not just a symbol. It actually has a salvation part. Calling on the name of the Lord. So, in the New Testament, we still need forgiveness for those sins when we first come to God. We have sins against the body. We have sins against our fellow man, trespasses, and sins against God, now revealed through the Holy Spirit. And this is the one that there still is no forgiveness for. There was never forgiveness against direct sins against God in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, there is still no forgiveness against God in the form of the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come. So there is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that it cannot be forgiven. And the reason is because it's denying revealed truth. So it's not easy to commit that unforgivable sin. It's not a matter of cursing God. It's not a matter of saying, I don't believe God exists. That's not it. But in the example that Jesus gave, it's when he had cast out a demon out of someone, and the Pharisees knew that it was true. It wasn't as if he had to prove to them, but out of their mouth they said he did it by the spirit of Beelzebub. And then Jesus went on to say that every sin against him will be forgiven, but a sin against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. And it's really denying revealed truth. What it means is the only way you can commit this sin, in my opinion, is when you absolutely know the truth, but you decide to choose to reject the truth. And that's what is so dangerous. That's so dangerous. The speaker yesterday spoke about a Pentecostal spirit-filled believer who turned away from the truth and is now preaching atheism. See, that's a deliberate choice against truth. But the first two categories, sins against the body, sins against our fellow man, thanks be to God and His mercy, we can still get forgiveness for. Amen. So three sins. Now, how do I tie this together? Because the Bible has an answer for each category. Amen. He has an answer for each type. Three sins and there are three witnesses. In 1 John 5:8, it says, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Amen. These three agree in one. Remember, in the Old Testament, you couldn't face death unless there were at least two or three witnesses. So let's look at that. In the New Testament, the sins against the body are forgiven by first repentance, godly sorrow, and a turn away and a change of direction, and then baptism for the remission of sins. That's what it says in Acts 2, verse 38. You shall be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission. What does remission mean? Removal, cleansing. Baptism cleanses the body now, of our sins. So that when we rise, we walk in what? Newness of life. We see that in Cornelius's salvation in Acts 11:13, when he was recounting, he said, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, look at this verse very carefully, because people say, well, Cornelius was filled with the Spirit before he was baptized, right? Which is true. But look what the angel said to Cornelius very carefully. He said that when Peter comes, he's going to do what? Tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Right. Tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. Now, if you go to Acts 10 and read the story, before Peter had even really started to speak, just a few words, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell. Now, if that was all that was needed, Peter could have shut up. But it says that he was going to tell them words whereby they what? So what were the words that he told them whereby that they must be saved? He said, you've got the Holy Spirit, and that's great, but that's not enough. The words that brought the completion of the salvation was, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, who shall tell thee? Because he hadn't said anything yet, and they were already filled. So if that was all, he wouldn't have had this. But he said that he was going to speak more words, in other words, that would tell them, and the house, how they shall be saved. And what were the words that he spoke? Peter said, who can forbid water that these should not be baptized the same as us? And he commanded them, Acts 10:48, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the start of the journey of salvation, the start of cleansing the land, is cleansing the soul. And it starts with being baptized, washed. Washing by the water. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We know that the disciples had been baptized in John chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized, the scripture tells us that he went about baptizing. Now, in your King James Version, there's a little note that says, but he himself baptized none. Well, if you study that, you'll find that that was not in the original in the original manuscripts. For some reason, the Roman Catholic Church decided it was too undignified for Jesus to be baptizing anybody. But if you look at the original manuscripts, it does not say, but he himself did baptize. No, Jesus baptized. It says he went about baptizing in the name of Jesus. All the disciples were already baptized by the time it came to the day of Pentecost. And so when we start the journey, we are washed, clean, sanctified by baptism. And that's why when he came to institute the Lord's Supper, he said, you only need to do what? Wash your feet. Because you are already been washed. And that word in the Greek is baptized. He was saying, you've already been baptized. See, when we're baptized, we don't need to baptize again every week. Because we have already been washed. All we need is our feet washed. And this is where the Bible starts to get really good. Because the washing of the feet is by the Word. When we come to church, we're having, Sister Johnny, we're having our feet washed. You are already clean. All you need now is to keep hearing the Word. Brother Leonardo, if you keep coming, that Word is going to make you completely clean. Amen. All you have to do is keep coming. That Word will wash your feet. You know why washing your feet? Because we're walking through some mess sometimes. Yes. Sister Johnny.
I was thinking on that note, the only way you need to be rebaptized is if you have not been baptized the proper way.
Amen.
Then there is a proper way to be baptized in the name of Jesus.
Amen. That's truth. Now, we have baptized some people who feel that when they were younger and they were baptized too young, they really didn't understand. And that's fine. But in truth, if you understood what you were doing when you were baptized and you were baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus, you are washed. You just have to now have the feet washed by the washing of the Word. Jesus saith unto them, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. This is what he told them when Peter said, well, you got to wash all of me. But is clean every whit, and ye are clean. John 13:16, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt hereafter. You see, a lot of the things we do by faith, we don't understand it. But if we keep coming and hearing the Word, it'll start to be made plain. You don't need to have a theology degree to accept salvation. It's so simple. It's so simple. Amen. You have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Some people don't need the mud. The centurion, he says, just speak the Word. But there was one man, he had to take him out of town, get him away from people, spit on the ground, make some mud, and he still didn't see. He still didn't see. Some of us need mud. Some of us, we can just hold the Word. Some of us have to have it explained to us, but some of us, we just can believe. Amen. Thomas said, unless I see him and I can put my finger in the hole and put my hand in the side, I won't believe. But Jesus said, blessed are those who will believe, having not seen. I'm telling you that if we will just trust God, we don't have to understand everything. But we do have to understand this, that his Word is true. And that he can save to the uttermost. Amen. So the Word is the water for the feet. So once we're baptized, we started the journey, our sins are forgiven. But as we walk through life, you know, you don't even have to do anything. Just be around unsaved people. You just feel so, you know, they're talking about all their mess. And it just makes you feel so degraded. But you can come in here and start lifting your hands and worshiping God and thanking him for his mercy and his grace. And you hear a word of encouragement. You hear a word of blessing. You hear a word of how God has, and it just lifts your spirit. See, when you hear the Word come forth, amen, just a scripture that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, your feet are being washed. Your feet are being cleansed. Amen. And when you do that, the land is starting to be healed because there's something significant in the Bible about feet. Abraham, everywhere you walk is going to be yours. And if Abraham by faith is righteous, then everywhere his feet touch is going to be righteous too. You take your peace with you. Isn't that what it says? When you go into a town, you leave your peace if it's worthy. That's how the land is healed. We should be a light unto the Gentiles. Amen. You know, the Sunday morning after they had that little riot thing, I took the church van and I drove right past the gas station. And if I hadn't been having to come to church, I would have got out and prayed. I want to bring my peace to that area. Amen. Wherever you are, you can be a light. See, this is how the land gets healed. Not by us just staying in here and praying. That's great. But we want it to be noised abroad. On the day of Pentecost, it was noised abroad. There must have been a tremendous noise emanating from that upper room. That wind that came, as I said, I think it cleared out more than just the upper room. It cleared out miles around because, as I said, those same people just 2 months before were shouting out what? Crucify him. What could have made their heart change so much? It must have been the Holy Spirit coming. And we bring the Holy Spirit. If it's in you, you bring it with you. Amen. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. When you go into work, speak a word into the air. Say, I claim this room, this office for Jesus Christ. You're healing the land. You're healing the land. It may not seem much, but you declare, I'm claiming this mall. I'm walking in the mall today. I'm going to claim this mall for Jesus Christ. You don't know who God will lead you to. You don't know, maybe it won't be a repo, man, but God, even in that circumstance, who knows what seed she planted in that man, even through the negative act of taking the car. But you know, as I said before, Romans 8:28, right? And we know. Amen. We have to look at the mountain and not be afraid of it. Amen. This is how we heal the land, by starting to take command of our situation and declare something. Take our Holy Spirit with us. See, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When we are washed, once we are washed, and then we start walking, and we let the Word keep washing our feet, there is therefore now what? It's not that we are perfect in this flesh. We still have to deal with this flesh, but the Word is continually washed. Can you get dirty under a stream? That's what it says. Really, that's the way you got to think of it, that we are under the Holy Spirit's stream all the time. If you are walking under that stream, nothing's going to stick. Right? The devil may throw some mud at you, but it's just going to get washed off. When you come to church and you start to pray and say, Lord, I messed up. Do not give up. Remember how it worked in the trespass offering? They had to confess. You know, I confess a lot. Maybe not to you, but when I need help, I'm telling God, Lord, I need your help. I can't make it without you. I can't make it without you. Amen. I say, Lord, you gotta find your little secret closet. I used to have the basement. I used to go down in the basement with the carpet and just lay out on the floor. For my wife, it's the bathroom. She goes in the bathroom and she's in there long, long, long time. I know what she's doing. She's praying and reading her Bible. But we have to let the Word wash us. Amen. This is how we heal our land. This land, Milwaukee, is in desperate need. We have some principalities and some powers here that are extremely wicked. And they just want to destroy. They just want to take control. But we have the example in Scripture that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. We need to start to not only be sanctified in here and encourage one another in here, but start to heal our land. Be a personal witness. Amen. There should be something about you. People say, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? Amen. When I go into work and God just keeps giving me little hugs and kisses and does amazing things for me, I just have to keep smiling because it's just unbelievable. Amen. Just totally God's mercy and His favor. Amen. Amen. So now let's look at some of these things that God can do, can heal our land. The Bible says that He's able to save to the uttermost. Now, is there any sin, except against the Holy Spirit, that cannot be forgiven? No. Can murder be forgiven? Yes. Didn't Jesus from the cross say, forgive them for they know not what they do? Can rape be forgiven? Amen. Now here's a tough one. Child molestation, can that be forgiven? Amen. Can that be cleansed? Torture. I've heard some great testimonies of Christians who were tortured. And Paul converted his jailer. He converted his jailer who put him in the darkest, deepest part of the prison. See, God is able to change the human heart. We look at our neighborhoods and our cities and we say, well, you know, if I was God, I'd just destroy it. But you know what he told Jonah when Jonah got mad at him? He said, there are over 120,000 children who don't know their left hand from their right hand. You want me to destroy Milwaukee? You want me to destroy your neighborhood? Jonah, you just need to preach. Let me work on their hearts. Let me work on their hearts. You just need to carry the word, Jonah. Jonah, you don't understand what you're saying. There's over 120 that don't understand their left hand from their right hand. God has been so merciful to each of us. That's why he said you should rejoice that you have been counted worthy. Hallelujah. I'm going to be finishing this. Incest, can that be forgiven? Isn't God gracious? When we think about all the things that we know that we have wronged God, isn't he merciful? Isn't he gracious? Amen. See, as I said, there's only one sin that cannot be forgiven. And it's really the same as in the Old Testament, against the Spirit of God. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. See, not many people actually can commit that sin, because you have to absolutely know the truth of God's word and believe it. See, if I don't know, I can't commit that sin. But if I have had revealed truth, if I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, Bible says if you have tasted of the heavenly gifts and you want to crucify Jesus again, there remaineth no more forgiveness, sacrifice for sins. But I want to tell you today, I don't believe any of you in here are that far gone. We have an advocate with the Father, hallelujah, who is there to continually make intercession for us. Amen. And if we will do like Jonah, although it looks impossible that a whole city could turn to God, I wonder what Jonah was thinking. He says, well, you know, I'll go through the motions because I don't think anybody's going to listen to me. But he went through and he said, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the amazing thing is the Bible says that from the king on down, repented at the preaching of Jonah. That's probably the world's greatest revival. Probably the world's greatest revival at the preaching of Jonah. Brother Frederick?
Yeah, I just want to say, he was just talking about, I was just listening to him talk about the light that we carry. You know, the Bible talks about how we are like a lampstand, you know. But anyway, I live in a place where people are so, they just got so many issues, just like I do. But for some reason, they're always coming, hey, man, you going to church or whatever. And so I find myself into conversations about Christ. And so I was just thankful that we are, and people can, they can feel the light on, and they can see the light, and they can sense the light. So it's just important that we are the people of God. We do have a place, and there are so many places that people need us, and we're there. So
amen.
Thank God.
Amen. You know, it's the Bible says where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. And in the places where there's the greatest darkness is where light makes the biggest difference. Think about that. It's the places where the greatest darkness that light can bring the biggest difference. Amen. The biggest difference. We know that God has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, but people want to try and make different arguments and go through philosophies. And they says, well, what happens if to the body if we do not get baptized? Here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you what Jesus said. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven except to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And I personally do not believe that you will be in the rapture if you have not fulfilled both of those things. Now, what God is going to do with you, that's between God and yourself. But this is what the scripture says. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven if you're not born of the water and of the Spirit. I'm just going to quickly go on to the last two things. Now, Watch this. Revelation 11:3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. And then verse 6 here says, these have the power to shut heaven, and it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood. Now, I'm not talking about the two witnesses, but I want to talk about the two physical witnesses, the water and the blood. I want to show you this now. Hebrews 10:28, going back to that scripture, said, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. 1 John 5:8 says that there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit. Now, I'm talking about how we heal the land. We're clothed with the Spirit, we're baptized by the water, and we're cleansed by his blood. Amen. If you could stand with me, amen. This is how we start to heal our land. If we will humble ourselves, seek his face, and pray. The Bible says that, then will I hear from heaven. Turn from our wicked ways. He will hear from heaven. Amen. And he will heal our land. Daniel understood that. He opened his window and three times a day he prayed to the Lord. Amen. He prayed to the Lord for healing of Jerusalem. Amen. And God heard his prayer. He gave him the revelation of what was going to happen. So the water is the witness of the death of the flesh. When we go down in that water by baptism, the Bible says our old man is crucified. The blood is the witness to the saving of the soul. Amen. And we have a new mediator of the new covenant to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood cried out for what? Vengeance. Jesus' blood cries out mercy and salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. We are so grateful for God's word today. Amen. And I hope you will be encouraged by this word and take it, because I believe we can heal our land. I would like that this month be a month where we emphasize revival and drawing close to God. And it has to start with us. I want to have more power. I want when I pray, more things happen. Amen. I want when I speak to God, things happen. It does, but I want it even more. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want the manifestation to be more. I don't want it to be every now and then when my faith is high. I want to be consistent. Amen. Give me my mountain. Amen. If you could bow your heads with me. Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning. We ask for an anointing, oh God. Let it find good soil. Father, we just lift up our hands in worship to you. And we thank you for your presence. Lord, let this word, oh God, build faith in our hearts as we see the day approaching. Lord, we need to heal our land. We need to, oh God, have you bless us, oh God, as we draw near to you. Give us more of your outpouring, oh God. Let our faith rise to exercise our right of sonship. We thank you right now, Lord. Continue to bless our services, oh God. Anoint our speaker, Lord God. We just thank you, and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise.